temple to give a time of congregational worship and praise to God. Again, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. And for those that don't know, I always like to say when you see too many points to a lesson, I will kind of get some highlights and we'll get through this, and hopefully we'll be a blessing for you. The title of the lesson that Rick said comes from the text that's being read to us, titled The Wisdom of the Wise Men. The Wisdom of the Wise Men. This really is not a seasonal lesson. This lesson could be preached in July and August. But it's a very important lesson because of the application that's being made from the wisdom of the wise men. Two questions give us the introduction. Didn't put this in your notes. But the first question we ask by way of introduction is how many people, always want to know, how many wise men were there? You can learn a lot of things from the text that was read to us, but we don't know how many wise men there were. A lot of people like to say there were three wise men because there were three gifts that were given. However, a couple wise men could have gone in together and bringing gold, and a couple others going in together bringing the frankincense, and even several others as a group bringing the myrrh. So we really don't know. You can't conclude that one wise man brought one gift. Two wise men could have brought three gifts. You ever done that at a party? You know, some out of a shower, you say, well, that's cool. Let's get together, and we'll work together and give a gift. Maybe that's what happened here. I didn't know there was more than one. There came wise men. It's just interesting, too. It really doesn't matter about the number, but it's kind of ironical that people try to be so wise in figuring out how many wise men there were, and they miss the greater lesson of the story. So I don't know how many wise men there were. Second question, in what way were they wise? How do you know they were wise men? In the text, then they were wise men, but they were considered wise even before they began their search for Jesus. Evidently, they were the, quote, wise men of the day. They no doubt were held in high esteem. One translation refers to them as the magi, the astrologers of the day. But as far as their wisdom is concerned, before this account in Matthew, we have to take someone else's word for it. In the text, though, in our lesson this morning, we find definite proof of their wisdom. Regardless of any wisdom they held prior to this event, we see their wisdom in their searching for Jesus. And that's the lesson today. The marks of wisdom in the wise men. How do we know they were wise? And in this way, they were wise. Number one, they were interested in Jesus. That's a good starting place. It's a mark of wisdom for any of us. It's on the spiritual side of wisdom. You need to be interested in Jesus. So that they heard, and they were interested. So some people today, you mention the word Jesus, they are not interested. Would you like to come to Bible class and worship? Oh, I'm not interested. Not interested. But the wisdom of the wise men, number one, is that they were interested. And when someone is given information about Jesus, I would hope you would be interested. The Bible says at the introduction of Jesus, concerning Mary, she'll bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Wow, that's interesting. Because no one else that's ever been born had that purpose in birth. To save people from sins. Interesting. Hopefully we would say, tell me more. But Peter says that Jesus did no sin. Wow, that's interesting. No one else has ever lived like that. You mean he never even let a bad word wisdom of the wise men, number one, is they were interested in Jesus, and hopefully when you hear something about Jesus, it provokes interest. You want to hear more. Number two, they were ready to search for Jesus. We're ready to search. In verse 2, it's saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship. Well, that's the purpose of their search. Want to come to worship Jesus. Now in verse 4 and verse 16, Herod was searching for Jesus too. Herod was searching for the wrong reason. He wanted to find Jesus so he could destroy him. But the wise men wanted to find Jesus so that they could give him worship. Because he's interesting. The most interesting man in the world is Jesus. Not the other man you see on the commercials. Number three, they didn't let someone else do their searching. Oh, that's a wise man. They didn't let someone else do their searching. In verses 7 and 8, Herod, when the wise men came to him, Herod sent the wise men away with the request. In verse 8, when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him. Oh, but he lied. It's in verse 16, verse 8. Yeah, he lied. But he wanted them, you go search, you go find, then come tell me the result of your search. Wise men were not so foolish. In your search for truth, in your search for Jesus, don't blindly accept what other people have told you, including me. I think I heard a phrase like that even in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Don't let someone else do your searching for you. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Now, what's interesting about that verse is that it was Paul that was preaching to them, the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't you blindly accept what Paul, the Apostle Paul said? It's the Apostle. Oh no, the Bereans, part of their nobility, the compliment that's given to them, whether Paul, the Apostle Paul said it or not, they received his word, but then they searched the scriptures. Oh, wait a minute, Paul, let me check that out. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. So the wisdom of the wise men is that they didn't let someone else do their searching. Number four, they were not too proud to ask for guidance. I put in your notes, wow, men stopping to ask for direction. So men, it's biblical to stop and ask for guidance. It's also good for your marriage. stop and ask for guidance. See, the wisdom of the wise men is that they didn't allow pride to set in and say to themselves, you know, if I act like I need help, if I act like I don't know something, then people might think that I'm not so wise. But oh no. They thought the greater achievement was finding Jesus, so they stopped and asked for directions. It's like when Philip met the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian was reading the Bible. Philip joined himself to the chariot and said, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Let someone guide me. I need some help. They weren't too proud to ask for guidance. But be sure if you ask a Bible question, be sure you get a Bible answer. If you ask a Bible question, get a Bible said no to a king. Can you get away with that? Ooh. Aren't they putting their life in jeopardy? You're going to say no to Herod? Do you know what he can do to you? Oh, but they obey God rather than man. There may be someone that you appreciate very highly in religion. Oh, I just esteem that teacher so much, they can't say anything wrong. That might be your trust in them. But the mark of wisdom of the wise men was that they obeyed God rather than man, and the previous point was they asked for guidance, and again, if you ask a Bible question, you get a Bible answer. Ooh. Even if the majority rules on something, you get the Bible answer. Even if it's something is popular opinion, you get a Bible answer. And we ought to obey God rather than man. If those things are in conflict, God gets the priority. That's the mark of wisdom of the wise men.
What you just found out.
He King Agrippa said to Paul in Acts 26, after he reasoned with him, the gospel, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. Agrippa, you came all this way. All this way, and now you're going to stop? Felix, the same thing. I'll call you when I have a convenient season. See, the wisdom of the wise men is that they didn't stop when they had Jesus in view. Don't you stop him. When they found Jesus, number 8, they showed their devotion by worshiping. Some people, in finding Jesus, they don't worship him afterward. Oh, that's not a mark of wisdom. Finding Jesus is not the end. It's not the conclusion of the journey. You started out, oh Jesus, with number 1, Jesus is interesting. I think I'll start my search. I want to find the Christ. Interesting man. But don't stop once you found him. Worship. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, man, I love Jesus. I've made the search. I thought, I love that man. But Jesus continued to keep my commandments. Jesus, he didn't say, if you love me, that's good enough. Stop right there. No, he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You keep going. See, when we're baptized, when we become a Christian, that's the commencement. It's not the graduation. So now we need to grow and we need to worship. We need to become like the object of our worship, meaning Jesus. Number 9, the last one. They prove their sincerity by giving to Jesus. You husbands, you were trying to find a wife. You see this lady out there and lovely. I'm interested. I'm not interested, but you understand. You are interested in this lady over here. I'm kind of interested. I'm ready to make a search. I'm so interested in that lady. So you begin your search, and you don't let anyone else do your searching. You don't tell your best buddy, "Would you go search out that lady, that pretty lady, for me?" No. And you're not too proud to ask for guidance. I'm going over there. Get some help. I'm willing to pay the price. So you get over and find that lovely lady and find out all about her. Yeah, now that I know. So. Oh, no, the intent was to establish a relationship with that lady. And now you want to prove the sincerity of your love for that lady. And don't you, husband, give to your lady? Your wife. These wise men did. In fact, the wise men gave the best they had. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See, the wisdom of the wise men is once they found Jesus, they were prepared to give Jesus more than the expense of the journey. So when we search for Jesus and we find him and we obey his commandments and we give him worship, now we need to give him what we have, what we brought with us on the journey, our time, our talents, our treasure, our effort. We need to give him, you know, ourselves. That's the wisdom of the wise men. So I put in closing, we see the wisdom of the wise men. Wise men still seek him. How wise are you? You're searching for Jesus. Here's the formula, the recipe, the steps, if you will, the mark of wisdom. I know they were wise men. I don't know about their wisdom before they searched. I know they were wise because they searched for Jesus until they found him and gave him worship. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Following our lesson, you're not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. You need to hear the gospel, the good news message that God sent his Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So you hear that good news message and you believe it. And as Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, we repent, or we'll all in like manner perish. And we confess our faith that Jesus is God's Son. Then we can be baptized for remission of sins, rise to walk in newness of life. From that point on, begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the invitation.